to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
If I have to step away for a second to hide my gold bars, you know what's going on. So,
listen, Brad, it's not fair to assume that someone is corrupt just because they're dealing in gold bars and foreign.
Look, this is I'm just doing my regular duties as a podcaster. Like, I don't know why you think anything's untoward. I'm just doing what podcasters normally do. We always get paid in gold bars.
It's weird. Tiny little gold bars, but gold nonetheless. Right. All right, we're back. Look, what a week. Good Lord. back with the fucking fury, man. Listen, Brad and I are going to prove in this episode that we are true to our word. We are not so partisan that we will justify the bullshit of Democrats. You're corrupt, and if you got to go, you got to go. So here we go. Current New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez, who had been federally indicted in 2015, I believe.
And tried. Only escaped due to a hung jury.
Only because of a hung jury. That's right. He has been indicted again by this feckless Justice Department that only goes after after Republicans, obviously. Right. So Merrick Garland's Justice Department was like, we got a pretty good case here, we think. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to run the table here and give a nice big old fat indictment to Robert Menendez. And look, it's for what I would argue. Now, I understand that everyone is innocent until proven guilty. But I am of the mindset that patterns exist for a reason. And I said back in 2015 – Robert Menendez was corrupt and guilty then. I stand by it. I guarantee it, like Denzel Washington would do. And turns out he's likely very much still doing the same shit. Actually, maybe getting worse over time. So
yeah, I mean, when this news dropped, there wasn't a soul who was just like,
Bob Menendez.
It could possibly be Bob Menendez.
Not our Bob.
Suspected of these things. Yeah.
Oh, my God. look, so, you know, for people who don't know, look, Bob Menendez is a Democrat. Bob Menendez is or was leading the Foreign Affairs committee. He's not a backbencher. He is very much a frontline Democrat. He's done some good things, right? But he is also notoriously corrupt. And this guy has always been on the edge of, hey, man, could you just guys like get rid of this guy? And apparently New Jersey Democrats are like, absolutely not. We love Bob Menendez. I don't know why. Maybe he's bringing like a ton of pork back to New Jersey. I'm not up on New Jersey
politics. Yeah, that's who should really be ashamed at the end of the day is New Jersey Democratic voters for letting this guy come back in 2018 after he had been indicted and tried. And again, wasn't acquitted, but there was a mistrial because of a hung jury and prosecutors declined to refile the charges.
Right. And look, I got to tell you, like I said, when he got out of that the last trial, I was like, this is bullshit and this is nonsense and he should go. And look, I'm actually glad. I am happy that this is happening.
I'm also happy this is happening. Yeah. And that's funny. I wasn't expecting us to be like coming to this news being like, actually, like, this is fucking great, really, for Democrats if you think about it. So
yeah, look, I saw that there was like, there's an unprecedented chance that Republicans have like a one, you know, like the first time in like 52 years, Republicans could, you know, take this seat or what have you. And I'm like, listen, this is the problem. And look, I'm going to relate it to another story that is definitely going to piss people off who would otherwise probably agree with us. And they're definitely going to think I'm wrong, but hear me out because you're definitely wrong. Okay, which is he needs to go, right? And right now, and we'll talk about sort of the Democratic response, other people in Congress, but for the most part, Democrats in Congress, both in the House and the Senate, about a third of them have come out and been like, Bob Menendez needs to go, right? Fetterman was out there like early on, like, I'm returning money that he gave me, like, in cash and envelopes, right? Like, he got his like little dig in, which I appreciate, which is very funny. I love John Fetterman. I think him and his team are brilliant. Like, they're super smart.
Phil Murphy, who's the governor of New Jersey, also within hours of this story coming out, was like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, we don't want anything to do with you, right? Hey, look, because they all know, right? They all know.
Right.
And so, look, I'm going to relate it to a story that's going to piss people off. This is just like Al Franken. And I know that it is, like, very cool to say the women who called out Al Franken, who were in the Democratic Party, I forget the one woman's name, Gillibrand, Kirsten Gillibrand, like, she's the piece of shit. She's the piece of shit who, like, called for it, and that was a terrible idea. No, it wasn't. Look, I love Al Franken. I love Al Franken. I listened to Al Franken back when he was on Air America. I love Al Franken. I still love Al Franken. I think he was a great senator, and I'm sad. I'm still sad that he had to leave the Senate. But he should have. Because when you were talking at the time, and the context here matters, it matters and it doesn't matter, right? At the time when Al Franken was asked to resign, and they didn't run him out. He left, okay? Mm. He's an adult man. He fucking picked himself up, you know, hoisted himself up by his own petard, and he walked out, right? Because he knew that the calls were getting a little too loud, and what he was being accused of and what he did, right? He admitted to doing these things. No one made it up. What he did, whether you think it was a joke or not, I'm not even making that argument, was not good for the party. So the context of that entire thing, which often gets lost, is that this was a time Democrats were calling out Donald Trump for sexual assault. The story comes out.
It was also and it was also like smack dab in the middle of the Me Too.
Right. It was like firing on all cylinders, right?
Yeah.
And look, even then, we even said back then, like, listen, like people were like Me Tooing everything. Like a guy winked at me at the mall. Fucking Me Too. It's like, whoa, okay, one. This is actually serious. Don't just make it everything that like even like a, just a shitty dude does. Like that's not what this was. And I remember us having a conversation about like this can easily be weaponized against Democrats if you don't play this carefully, right? And you also need to remember that if somebody weaponizes it against a Democrat, if they are accurate and this is right, don't defend them, right? And a prime example of that was Harvey Weinstein, right? Big, long-time mega donor to Democrats. When that shit came out, people were like, no thanks. Like, no, we can get this guy the fuck out of here, right? But getting back to Al Franken, this is a time where the Me Too movement was hitting an all-time high. This is a time that Trump was being called out for his behaviors and everything else. It does not look good for Democrats to be on board with protecting a guy, in this case, who is doing the thing that you're slamming other Republicans for and then protecting him, however small it was, right? Now, I think that he was doing it under the auspices of this comedy bit or whatever. But at the same time, you're goose and butts, dude. Like that's what you did, and you did it. And, like, they called you out on it, and they weren't wrong, right? So this, the Bob Menendez thing, is obviously much more serious. But people who are like, they shouldn't – the Republicans don't get rid of their guys when they do corruption, so we shouldn't get rid of us. That's a terrible excuse. That's the same as what we talked about last week. You signed on to be with the good guys, the moral party. This is the part that sucks, is that you're going to possibly lose a senator because of this.
And if anything, something that I thought about earlier this morning when I was thinking about the Menendez thing is and I thought about Al Franken as well in the same context. And not that we shouldn't take – you know, sexual harassment and assault seriously, because we absolutely should. Right. But I think the fact that more people haven't come out vociferously and have like publicly stated for Menendez to step down and resign just shows me where we still are as a country as far as how we take seriously white collar crimes. White collar crimes are still drastically under prosecuted and not cared about as much.
100%. And also I would make the argument that it shows where the Democratic Party is, right? Like there is still this like deep seated, hey, man, just protect your own type of shit. And you can tell the liberal Democrats are like, I don't know her. Like, get the fuck out of here, dude. Like, you got to go, right? So, look, in a way, in some ways, this sucks, right? You got to run up to 2024. The last thing you want is this major corruption case and stuff like that. But like Brad was saying, or at least I assume this is your point about it actually being a good thing, is you can show that your party holds their guys' feet to the fire if you handle this correctly.
Democrats have been handed a gift in this stuff popping up, because they really fucking have. Because it's a chance to, A, come out vociferously against corruption in government and hold people accountable, which is a direct contrast to something that Republicans are doing right now with their current presidential frontrunner. It's a way to put Republicans on a variety of hot seats, because A, we have a debate, we have a Republican primary debate tomorrow. If that moderator is worth a shit, they're going to ask Republicans what they think Bob Menendez should do in the wake of these corruption scandals. And if any of them say, oh, he should step down, you got a natural fucking follow-up question. And if any of them say, oh, we should wait, you know, wait to see what happens, then you kind of like, oh, so like, you know, you're not for removing corrupt officials from the government. So you can hit him there. If Menendez doesn't step down himself, like if he doesn't leave the Senate on his own, this could be a very interesting opportunity. And I would be curious to see if Democrats would take it, because I think that the smartest thing you could do, it is vote to expel him from the Senate, because you immediately would put so much pressure on Republicans to either back your play and help you get this dude out of the Senate or not. And if they don't, then the question then becomes, well, why not? Why don't you think you should do that? And by the way, why were you okay removing Ilhan Omar and Adam Schiff from their committees in the House, but you're not going to support us calling our own? Like, we're not even asking you to get rid of a Republican. We're trying to get one of our own people out of here because he's fucked up, and you're not going to help?
I mean,
don't you care?
Well, and here's the thing. So there's reality, and then there's political reality.
Right.
Reality is everything you just said. The political reality is you even have people like Tom Cotton going, well, I mean, I think we should wait and see, right? Because they realize, like, oh, fuck, if we say this guy is corrupt and, like, there's definitive corrupt, you know, evidence, then we are going to turn a massive mirror onto our own party. And that is just not what we want. But at the same time, oh, there's a Democrat we could get. Like, they're driving themselves crazy. And also, there's the other part of reality. Phil Murray, the governor of New Jersey, is a Democrat. And it's nice and easy for him to just go, oh, you want to get rid of Bob Menendez? It's fine. We'll just put in a reasonable Democrat who's not fucking corrupt. So again, Republicans are stuck between a rock and a hard place, which is you either scream about it, make big hay about it right before the election, and Democrats go, we agree with you. We should get this guy the fuck out of here. And they're like, fuck. Yeah. And then it shows they can run a perfect ad that says, Bob Menendez, a Democratic senator, we got the fuck out of there. By the way, you use this language. It's fine. It's not copyrighted. We got that guy the fuck out of here. And because we believe in policing corruption no matter what party it's in. And then just like a hard pivot, yet the Republicans, and then just show them like, Donald Trump's our guy. He's awesome. He's awesome. Like, that's all you have to do. And then it just shows like, yeah, Democrats might be corrupt, but at least they call their own guys out. And that's like, whether you are a Democrat, liberal, conservative, or Republican, or wherever you live in the political spectrum, a libertarian for some god fucking reason, I guess you're 12, you don't really understand how politics works. No matter where you are in that spectrum, you gotta want whatever team you're on, because you're on some team, right? You agree with some swath of people. If there is a person in that group that is corrupt, you want that team to be able to go, absolutely not, that person needs to go. So it doesn't matter. Like, that's a universally understood phenomenon. So if Democrats kick Bob Menendez out, which they should. They should expel him from the Senate if they can get that pulled off. And the only reason they won't is because Republicans will literally actively try to keep Bob Menendez on, which I don't know how Democrats don't take a sledgehammer politically and beat them over the head with it.
I don't think that's the only reason, because I think that so far, at least, Chuck Schumer has been hesitant to speak up. Like he is basically like he won't say whether or not he thinks Menendez should go. All he said is that he has the right to a fair trial. Cory Booker came out and said that he should step down. Menendez should. But that's the thing, is like if Menendez remains obstinate, and you know, funnily enough, like he's no fan of Trump, but he's definitely running the Trump playbook right now. Like this is a witch hunt. Like they're out to get me because I'm Latino.
Because I'm Latino. Like, dude,
right? They're racist and all this shit. So he's running. So he's like, but you know, I'm not going anywhere. Kind of shit. If he can't be convinced on his own to leave, Chuck Schumer is going to have to be like, all right, if you're not going to leave, like we're going to kick you out, and I will make sure that this happens because we're about to run up against the most corrupt motherfucker in Republican politics, and we need to show that we're tough on that. The Democratic Party is tough on corruption.
Yeah, so. Like it. But again, that's where that is the one of the rare cases where reality meets political reality. Like it just does. And
here's the thing: if I were Chuck Schumer, I'd fucking do it anyway. This opportunity is too fucking good just to pass up and wait for Bob Menendez to realize what side of the bed the sun's coming up on. Like, come the fuck on,
right? Like, at a certain point, I need Chuck Schumer to just go to Bob Menendez and be like, "Remember when I said I wasn't going to fire you, or I wasn't going to have you expelled? I lied." Like that's what I need. Get him out.
Yeah,
of there.
Chuck, you did say that.
Just drop poor Bob Menendez down a giant hillside. But no, he needs to go. And you're right. This is a rare opportunity for Democrats to absolutely get a win out of what seems to be on its face a loss. By the way, I'd like to introduce a new member to our team. I am dubbing this guy as the 100% representation of evil and corruption in politics. One of my personal favorite characters of all time, but he is now joining me in the studio, a giant Skeletor. He is, anytime we talk about political corruption, Skeletor will be there. All right, so for people listening on video, I bought a giant pop vinyl of Skeletor. I walked in the store, I was like, oh, I need that. I need him. So from now on, he will be, probably next week, he will be mounted behind me and I will point to him. But for now, my boy's here. So yeah, look, Bob Menendez, you got to get the fuck out of here, man. Like,
For you Johnny Come Lately right wingers who were telling us that we're only hitting Bob Menendez because it's convenient, because it just popped up in the news and where were we forever? Go back and listen to the archive. Like, we several times a year when Bob Menendez just happens to come up, or when the topic of political corruption comes up, we go out of our way to mention how Bob Menendez sucks and he should have been gone 7 years
all the time. Like, I got no love for Bob Menendez. I barely have love for New Jersey. Let's get out of here. Like, come on.
I'm just if it wasn't for Cory Booker being there, like we just right, fucking tell it. That trash, tell that trash state to get absorbed into New York like they should. Get the fuck out of here.
Virgin tunnel people, knock it off. No, I do. Before we get off of the bomb,
can't even pump your own fucking gas, you losers.
Well, someone has to do it for me. Knock it off. But before we get off the Bob Menendez thing, I do want to talk about one detail of this corruption case that I just found hilarious. One of the big parts of the corruption case is this bit with the FDA, right? Which I don't know if you've heard this, but it is an awesome story. This asshole basically put his thumb on the scale to prop up a company to do all of the inspections of halal meat from leaving the United States and headed to Egypt, right? Because he did a lot of like sort of corrupt shit with Egypt, right? Which is also like doubly bad, right? You're doing corrupt shit with a foreign nation, let alone just your good old fashioned domestic corruption, right? So he basically was like, look, he's friends with the guy who runs this company. So he is like, I'm going to get rid of the five companies that normally handle this, these inspections of this halal meat that goes to Egypt, so that this one company can take it over, right? Win this contract. Not only were the five companies that were handling the halal meat previously actually Muslim, so they give a fuck about whether or not it's truly halal and like following. He gives it to a guy whose company, one, never done meat inspection before. Okay, weird. Two, run by a Christian, and I'm sorry, look, I'm not religious at all, but I think the person handling the halal meat should probably practice eating halal food exclusively. Like, that should be a part of it, so they can make sure, right? Like, I wouldn't want a Muslim company handling, I don't know, kosher food. It feels like you'd want to hire the people who are directly, directly involved in that sort of thing. So they pick a Christian guy who's never done it before to handle all of the meat that's exported from the U.S. to Egypt that's halal, doing all the inspections for that. So a complete one, corrupt on its face of just giving it to one guy, like a no-bid contract type of thing, but also giving it to someone who clearly is not qualified to protect those people, by the way. Because, look, you could say, oh, well, who gives a fuck about Egypt? But if we're saying that this stuff is halal and it's fucking A1 good, you should be able to trust that. And the political corruption that's involved in this leads me to believe that it likely wouldn't be done correctly because this guy has no experience in doing that. So
right.
I just found that to be hilarious. And then also them raiding Bob Menendez's house and literally finding gold bars. Literally gold bars.
If you haven't at least perused like a summary of the indictment, you really should, because it's really damning. Like apparently like all this bribe money he received in envelopes, and he just kept it in the envelopes, like in his fucking safe. Like he got his wife involved, like he wrote his wife like personal checks. In a huge amount of money, and then she wrote identical checks to this, like, you know, a foreign intermediary with like personal loan and like the fucking memo line of the check. I'm just like, man, I was like, you would think for a guy that is that's as hella into crimes as Bob Menendez appears to be into crimes, that he would be a better criminal. But he's just like a lazy criminal. He's just like, yeah, like they haven't caught me yet. Like, what are they gonna start now? Yeah, actually, they will eventually start now. Like, if you're so dumb.
Yeah, no, they they're coming today. Like, but I like the idea of someone saying, "No, man, I'm not guilty of any crimes. No, I keep gold bars in my house for no reason." Like,
that's cartoonish. just like my parents in Cuba did.
Yeah, like my ancestors in Venezuela. Really weird. So it's just, it's really weird, and it's really weird for people to be defending this. Like, if you're a Democrat and you're defending this, that's crazy. If you're a Republican defending this, we see you, okay? Like, we know what this is about. Knock it off. You're just trying to protect your other boy. But it is right. Really funny. But it should not go unnoticed that this guy, very much a Democrat, again, not a backbencher, very much a frontline guy, is deeply, deeply corrupt. And that corruption is on Front Street, and it should continue to be on Front Street, and people should call it out. And he needs to go. That's it. Like, look, we're not in the business of protecting anybody based on party. Fuck that noise. Just not.
And by the way, like, even if Phil Murphy was a Republican, he was likely to appoint a Republican to fill the seat until next year when they have their election for that seat, we'd still be saying the same thing. Like, we actually fucking believe our principles. And not just, you know, when it's convenient for us to.
Right. And that would be incredibly inconvenient for us. That sucks. But if someone is corrupt, like, look, there is short term and there are long term results of these kinds of things. Right. The short term is, let's say Phil Murphy was a Republican. You get a Republican in there, or people go, see, Democrats are corrupt or whatever. That's the short term. The long term is you protect Bob Menendez, and then people go, see, the system is corrupt. They're all corrupt. Mm-hmm. Who gives a shit?
They're all the same. I'm not voting. Both sides are the same.
Both sides are the same. You get the fucking bad faith bullshit, right? But if you call it out and someone goes, see, they're both the same, you go, actually, they're not. And here's a prime example of why they're not. And that is the goal, right, is to not only get trust back in government, get trust back into a party who is trying to do the right thing. They don't always succeed, obviously, but they're trying to do the right thing. And the other goal is to get political wins. And knocking Bob Menendez off the fucking chessboard is a political win. And it, frankly,
any which way you slice it, quite frankly.
Yeah, you can't lose. So just like stop being nice and just be like, all right, like we're done asking. Like we're done asking, dude. Yeah. Let's go to, go to a vote. Like the only thing Chuck Schumer should be doing, if he isn't already, is quietly whipping votes to make sure he's got enough and then and announce like, hey Bob, I'm gonna need you to step down by Friday. I'm not stepping down. Bet there'll be a vote on Thursday. Like that's it.
Here's my question. You know what I'm really missing in this whole endeavor, and I'm not saying this to shit on him, but like I just miss it. I haven't seen it yet, and I'd really like to because I'd imagine it's gonna be kind of awesome. Where's the Bernie Sanders response to this? Like I feel like this is like fucking like this is what Bernie Sanders wakes up in the morning to fucking do is to fucking be sanctimonious about this shit. Like come on, where are you at?
Yeah, he must be busy. Like he's too busy out there literally fist fighting millionaires and billionaires.
He's got auto workers that he has to be in solidarity with. He doesn't have time to comment on Bob Menendez.
This is a big deal. But I'm sure Bernie will make an appearance. And like you said, this is Bernie's bread and butter, man. Like I don't give a goddamn about what party he's in. Just call it out. And look, and that's the part about Bernie I love. Like you should be able to call this shit out. And I have no doubt if he was probably not wearing a UAW hat right now and screaming at the picket lines, I'm sure he'd be right there calling out Bob Menendez, and he should be. So I wouldn't be surprised at all. All right, we're going to take a little bit of a break and we will be right back. All right, so let's talk about fresh off the press, man. This is a very, very recent story, like quite literally a couple hours ago. Judge rules Donald Trump defrauded banks, insurers while building real estate empire. This is out of New York. Judge Arthur Engoron ruling in a civil lawsuit brought by the New York Attorney General Letitia James found that Trump and his company deceived banks, insurers, and others by massively overvaluing his assets and exaggerating his net worth on paperwork used in making deals and securing loans. The judge ordered that some of Trump's business licenses be rescinded as punishment, making it difficult or impossible for them to do business in New York, and said he would continue to have an independent monitor oversee the Trump Organization operations. If not successfully appealed, the order would strip Trump of his authority to make strategic and financial decisions over some of the key properties in the state of New York. Not a bad deal if you can get it.
No,
I love it.
Not at all.
Because he basically saying like you need to he'd be basically like dissolving the Trump Organization. Like that's basically what they're talking about here.
I can read Trump's response if you'd be so kind or if I'd be so kind. My civil rights have been violated and some appellate court, whether federal or state, must reverse this horrible, un-American decision. The Trump Organization has done a magnificent job for the state of New York and done business perfectly. And it's a very sad day for the New York State system of justice.
I wish I could get Skeletor to mouth the words of Donald Trump because they're utterly ridiculous. Yeah, no, this makes sense, right? Like, Letitia James, I wish this was not a civil case. I wish it was a criminal case.
Naturally. Yeah.
Like, this is a slam dunk case. Like, there's not even an argument, by the way. Like, there's not an argument, a sound argument besides they're just going after him, which is obviously not a sound argument. But when you look at the details of this case, like, he did inflate his net worth. He did decrease the value of his properties when it was time to be looked at for paying taxes. Like he did. This is not an argument. Like literally the numbers show you that like, okay, now this thing is worth 221% higher than it was 5 years ago. Nothing's changed. And then like a year later, it drops all the way down when it's time to do his taxes. Like it is a clear case of corruption. Look. There is part of me that says, I'd love to see this guy go to jail for all the things that he's done. Will that happen? I don't know. I honestly don't know. I hope so. But there's another part of me that just hopes that, like, you can almost leave him out of jail, but take everything from him.
Just right? make him destitute.
Just make him destitute. Take the Trump Organization, sell it off for parts, right? Like, you know, sell it to Hilton or whatever, like, you know, like whoever he like really hates, like just sell it to his competitors for rock, you know, rock bottom prices, and just remove every ounce of everything he corruptly built and watch him fucking flounder, right? And just say like, and you can't start a business. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, like tough luck, dude. And then, and just be like, no, go about your day. It's fine. Right? Like,
dude, he would go emigrate to Moscow. Like, actually, people are saying all the time that the ruble, even more powerful than the dollar. People are saying.
A lot of people are saying, who? No one. Yeah. Not even Vladimir Putin is saying that, dude. I guarantee you his billions of dollars aren't in fucking rubles. Like, I guarantee you it's not. Or his billions in wealth. So it's this is a good thing. I don't know how well this will stand up in like an appellate court. Like, it's probably going to get knocked down to some degree. But yeah,
I don't know because again, like the decisions being made, like, I don't think they can appeal. Can they appeal the sentencing, or can they just appeal? Can they appeal the decision? Because like if the decision is made in facts presented, I don't know what an appellate court's going to do. Like, and again, like, you know, this can get up to a New York State Supreme Court. I don't think this can go to SCOTUS because it is a civil matter.
Yeah, it's a state civil matter.
So,
I don't know. And well, the question is, what really happens, right? Does it mean that he's no longer capable of doing business in the state of New York? Like, that could happen. Like, that could legitimately happen. That would be funny, because while he has run off to Florida to live out the rest of his life in his little shit mansion down there, as much as he pretends to hate New York, he loves New York. Like, it's intrinsically a part of who he is. But for him to then, like, can he own Trump Tower in New York? Like, do they strip him of that? You know what I mean? Like, what happens to his properties in New York? Like, it depends on, are those things up for, you know, like up for grabs? I don't know. I honestly don't know. Probably not. But he certainly wouldn't be able to do business. The Trump Organization wouldn't be able to do business in New York. That is very possible. And that fucks him, like, from a Trump connected to New York thing. But who it really fucks is his kids, who run his business in New York. They're not in Florida. So what are you going to – you're going to start a new company that then you move all the assets and then it's all out of Florida? I guess. But, like, you have assets in New York, right? Like, Trump Tower is a business – is a part of a business in New York. Like, so how does that work? I'd be curious to get sort of a readout from, like, some, you know, obviously much smarter legal minds than myself. Like, what does that mean if they – if they remove the idea of a Trump Organization existing on,
well, I'll tell you what, I think we're about to find out. So, so more to come.
So yeah, look, you know, the idea that him and his brood can't run a charity anymore was already the fucking first nail in the coffin. The fact that they wouldn't be able to run a business in New York would be even more incredible. But just the dissolving of the Trump Organization in and of itself would be a phenomenal fucking headline. Like, if nothing else, that is a phenomenal headline. So we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, judge came out today on that. So best of luck with all that. Next up, like, from unbelievable corruption to this has never been done before. And I kind of love it. President Joe Biden joins the picket line to tell the United Auto Workers strikers, quote, you deserve a significant raise. He is standing not with the automakers, but with the little guy. This, quite literally, they went back and looked. They're like, there's never been a president who has stood on this at the picket lines with strikers in the history of the U.S. There's never been a president to do that. And here you got, quote unquote, sleepy Joe Biden, are apparently awake enough to do something that none of these motherfuckers could ever think to do.
Yeah.
Brilliant. It's a brilliant.
And to put a cherry on top, Republicans are out there making ads for Joe Biden again. Like that, Nikki dude. Haley went on TV and was talking about like how terrible it is for these workers to be extorting these businesses and they're going to hurt the economy and this out of the other thing. I'm just like, that's a bold strategy. way to hand Biden another unedited political ad that he could just fucking wham. Right. I'm Joe Biden. I approve this message.
Yeah, like Joe Biden is standing with the workers. Yeah, yeah. No, that's look. That, there's a picture. That's me. That's literally me. Like it's also notable.
Yeah, also notable that Biden is doing this today because tomorrow Trump is giving a speech in front of the same striking auto workers to counter program the Republican debate that he's not going to be a part of. That's going on tomorrow night.
Yeah, and look. The UAW doesn't fuck with Trump, dude. Like, they don't. And no. I don't know why he thinks that he – look, I'm sure there are conservatives in that crowd. Of course, right? Like,
here's my question. What the fuck is he going to say? Like is he going to come out as the head of the Republican Party and be like, you guys should get a tremendous raise. You guys should get, like, even more benefits than you've gotten. Like you're the soul of this country. Is he really going to come out as the leader of the Republican Party and side with workers, full-throatedly? And if he doesn't, how's that going to play with this fucking speech that he's – right, in front of the UAW. So it seems like he's in a bit of an unenviable position here.
Yeah, he's like the Bob Menendez of this story, right? Like, he's fucked. Because, like, look, it's really weird because your entire party is like, yeah, but we like stock buybacks. Like, dude, what are you doing? Like, you're killing us, man. You're killing us. And look, if you were a Republican, like, it's wild, by the way. It is wild to watch. I'm very, very much connected to two other strikes that are coming on that are actually hopefully coming to a complete end here very soon. One of them quite literally in a few hours, just like because I focus on movies a lot. Right. And so I pay attention a lot to the writer's strike. I pay attention to the actor's strike. There's another there's a video game strike about to happen too, apparently, which is fucking crazy. And so the UAW is like the cherry on top, right? You get even more of this stuff. What you realize is Republicans, like if you read their comments online, they're all like, writers, Hollywood writers are being paid so much money. I'm like, are you sure about that? Like, that's a crazy thing to say. Yeah. But like, that is a crazy thing to say. Like, you really don't fucking get what's going on.
Also very, very interesting stance to take for the people who, quote unquote, hate all of the elites and globalists that are running Hollywood.
Three parentheses on each side.
Yeah, big quotes around that. So, yeah.
But like, they still, even though they hate like all these like, oh, corrupt Hollywood, and they're trying to force our kids to believe this stuff, they will still back the David Zaslavs and the Bob Igers and everyone else against the little guy, because at their core, they are such boot licking dickbags, right? Like, they can't help themselves. They're like, oh, well, I mean, we have to defend the corporate interests, right? It's like, but those are the people you yell about 99% of the time. But when it comes to like this one moment where it's very easy, it should be very easy to go, hey man, the little guy's getting exploited. They're like, I get it, but the core of me is dirt. So I have to go with the fucking giant corporate interest. And so for Trump to come out and to be so – to try – right, because this is fake. To try to be in support of the auto workers isn't going to make sense because your party is going to turn around the very next day or like later that day and go, "Ooh, we're not for the little guy. Get the fuck out of here." That dude. Our entire argument is fuck the little guy. Have you been paying attention? Mm-hmm. And by the way, that's how I know nothing Trump says to the UAW is going to be genuine. And even if it is, it doesn't matter because the party that you control doesn't give a fuck about the little guy. even though when they are on this, literally some of them are the little guy, they still can't bring themselves to give a shit.
Well, and that's what's funny about Trump's, like, so like Biden's message down there on the picket line today is, you know, we need to fight for the workers, blah, blah, blah. Trump is going to be giving a speech, not on a picket line, just in a fucking, you know, auditorium or whatever. And his message, like, I'd be surprised if he spent 5 minutes talking about the labor disagreement, because what is his message actually going to be about? It's going to be about China. It's going to be about Hunter Biden. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be about, electric, you know, how the economy sucks.
Electric cars are ruining the auto industry, except they're really not.
And windmills, and, you know, the fact, and Jeb Bush is out to get him. Spoilers for later in the show. And, and so he's going to give a Trump stump speech. When he should be focusing on the plight and the fight that these that these union workers are going through. But again, it's just it's just a campaign stop.
It's a campaign stop. But look, allow me to present another angle to this. He doesn't even know what's happening. Like, he doesn't know what's happening. And he's just like, I don't know. Like, people are real mad. And the auto workers, they seem like regular guys. I'm going to say I side with them because that's what I keep hearing is the right thing to do. But he doesn't really get it. He doesn't get it.
Well, he's been parroting the same shit that all Republicans have been parroting about this, is that, oh, like, the actual problem is that all these electric cars are being built in China. And that's what really is that. That's the real reason the workers are striking. I'm like, that's not the reason the workers are striking, guys. Like, that's far from.
Right. And look, here's the thing I learned today, right? Because for people who don't know, why are the workers striking, right? Like, we're saying Trump doesn't understand it. Let's give a little bit of context as to what is actually happening. And by the way, nothing to do with electric cars. What it has to do, because by the way, all of these companies are making electric cars and are like, yeah, we're going to be making like all electric cars in like 5 years, right? So it's not electric cars. That's not the problem. The problem is when they got bailed out, right? We as a country were like, oh my God, the auto industry is suffering because of COVID and everything else. Here's a bunch of money. Please pay your workers, build your business back up since you lost all this money. No one's driving for fucking 2 years, right? They took that money and instead of paying their workers and even paying the executives a little less perhaps, instead of doing that, what they did was they said, cool, fuck the workers. And they said, you know, you've increased your amount of work and output considerably over the last number of years. Mm-hmm. But you've gotten a 5% increase, I think, in the last like 10 years. They've got like a 5% increase. But the price of cars have gone up by 35%, right? Which is insane. So what they did was they took the money that they got from the government, and what did they do with it? They did stock buybacks. So they went and they bought back their own stock to help inflate the price. Like, look at how many people are buying GM stock. It must be doing well, and inflate the price to overvalue GM. That hence they get more and more other people to buy more stock. They make more money, right? So they took our money that was supposed to go to building the company. They didn't do that. They took that money, did stock buybacks, and then paid their executives a shit ton of money, right? Never paid their workers any increase. The workers are like, hey, man, we've gotten production going crazy high. We've got nothing for it. And you pretended that you couldn't help us and give us more money because in the middle of the pandemic, we in corporate speak, we're all suffering as a family. So you guys, you know, you eat your fucking cat food and we're also, you know, having starvation wages as executives. And, you know, then we'll build back up as a family. And the workers were like, absolutely not. This is bullshit. You're fucking us over. And they're 100% correct. So in order for Trump and the Republican Party to even – and I won't even say the Republican Party because that's not fair to them. They're not trying to make this argument at all, right? But Trump is trying to make this argument that he stands with the UAW workers. In order for us to believe that he's actually genuine about that, you would have to believe that he thinks that not only should they get pay raises, that the UAW should get 4-day work weeks, because that's the thing they're pushing for, by the way, which is awesome, right? You'd have to believe that he thinks that stock buybacks are a thing that's not correct. Today I learned, by the way, stock buybacks illegal until, drumroll, 1982, when President
Who, Ronald, I was gonna say, who's Reagan, president when that, when that happened?
Ronald, yeah, Reagan said, hey, who's in charge? Buybacks. We're fine. By the way, you want to find out where all the massive debt and corruption in this country went absolutely fucking haywire? You can look to the Gipper, because he's one of the worst politicians we've literally ever had in American history. Certainly the worst in modern history. Which is really a shame, because it's like the start of my life started with Ronald Reagan. I never got to see what America was like before it became shit. It's unfortunate. So yeah, it's bullshit that any Republican would pretend to be in line with the UAW. It is completely the opposite of what they believe. They believe, yes, in stock buybacks. They believe in all that shit. They believe in enriching corporations and corporate owners above workers.
Yeah.
None of them
agree with it. No taxation on capital gains and exactly, all this other bullshit.
Yeah. Yep. Stock buybacks, no taxation on that shit. None. You're literally buying your own shit, so it's not taxed. So we're getting screwed two times. Right?
Yep. And again, just to reiterate, we said this last week, but we'll say it again. This is after a massive bailout for the same industry happened, you know, 14 years ago or you know, 16 years ago during the Great Recession.
Yep.
That Republicans caused, by the way. So.
Yeah. So, again, when you tell me that you are for helping helping out the auto workers, to quote that dude from the newsroom, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Like, Yosemite? Like, it doesn't mean anything. It just doesn't mean anything. All right. We're going to be back and talk about Kristen Sinema and her nonsense, which I love. All right. After this break. Okay. So let's talk about your girl, or Andy's girl.
I must say, this is Andy's bay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yours was last week. Yours was last week.
Yes. She's keeping her head down. And you can take that any way you want it. So, because Lord knows she probably does. Yeah, so.
On my knees, one of the most powerful. Good Lord.
That's right.
Saying the quiet part loud there, sweetheart. Kristen Sinema pitches donors on a path to victory for re-election in Arizona. And it's by courting Republicans. Really?
Really? Of course. And by the way, in greater numbers than Democrats.
Okay. Before we get into the story, I'm going to say something. Look, y'all just going to have to be mad. The Green Party is fucking useless. Okay. It's fucking useless. She's a former Green Party person. They're fucking useless when it comes to actual politics. They are.
Who the fuck could possibly live through have lived through 2016 and take offense to that statement?
No, I still see people. Well, I don't know. Maybe like, you know, maybe Cornel West will pull it out. Really? Maybe you think so? Okay. Hey, would you like to make a bet? Would you like to make a bet? I'll bet you $1 million he doesn't. And I don't even need to have $1 million to know that that's not going to happen. That's how sure I am. So like, Kristen Sinema is a former Green Party person. And I truly mean that. I think the Green Party is completely useless in this country. I do. And it's not because I don't agree with their views on some things. I actually do agree with them. I just think all they do is go, we're going to run for president. And it's like, there's no infrastructure. Mm-hmm. There's nothing. And when you have people like Kristen Sinema who come from that, they also have unrealistic political expectations and unrealistic views of how politics actually works. And she is a prime example of a fucking just a not even a political novice, just a traitor, like to the political process in and of itself.
I was gonna say, I think you give her too much credit or not enough credit. I think she's just a craven piece of shit.
Yeah,
who's just willing to take power however she can get it.
Right. Well, she certainly is. I mean, so, you know, the Arizona Democrat turned independent hasn't publicly announced whether she's running for re-election. Okay. Why don't you just announce it so we can all just realize you're going to get beaten, right? But whatever. But privately, her political team has been mapping out a campaign strategy, pitching donors and potential supporters on how she can win the marquee Senate race. In a two-page prospectus obtained by NBC News, Sinema charts out a path to victory as an independent candidate in Arizona with a glimpse of her possible campaign message and new details. under the banner of Crescent's Path to Victory. Oh, very creative. The document says Sinema can win by attracting 10 to 20% Democrats. Remember, she was a Democrat before she became an independent. 60 to 70% of independents. I don't think so.
Well, I have thoughts on that, but I'll let you finish before I weigh in there. So,
and 25 to 35% of Republicans. All right, Brad, tell me why she's going to be reelected.
So, as someone who used to be party unaffiliated on their voter registration, and that's and speaking for myself, there is no such thing as an independent voter. You are just a either a right-leaning or left-leaning conservative or liberal, respectively, that doesn't have a party affiliation. So, like, if Kyrsten Sinema is talking about quote-unquote winning independence, that's not a thing. Those independents will break one way or the other, and it's not going to be with Kyrsten Sinema. Like, it's again, it's not like there's a independent political party that you're running alongside. Yeah. That doesn't exist.
Yeah, I used to put that I was an independent, and the reason I would often change to Democrat is just so I could vote in the primary, right? Because it's a closed primary in the state of Maryland. And then I realized I'm never going to vote for a Republican. So
yeah, I'm just a Democrat. So let's stop trying to on
paper for their paper. I'm just a Democrat. Whether I see myself as a wildly independent person, whatever, irrelevant to this document. Like, I just want to be able to vote in Democratic primaries because those are the only people on the ballot who I give a shit make it past it. I don't give a fuck if Republican makes it pass in Maryland. They're going to get their asses kicked anyway. Like, so who cares? But this idea of winning 60 to 70% of independents, you're right. It means nothing. Like, that's a very silly thing to say.
Yeah. So again, I don't know what her actual strategy is. Ruben Gallego is running against her as a Democrat, and if she runs in a Democratic primary, which it seems like she's angling not to do, he will kick the shit out of her in that race. And a lot of polling is already showing that Ruben Gallego would still win if she entered the race as a third party candidate, which is surprising to me. I would think that she would play a bit of a spoiler for Ruben Gallego, but again, I guess moderate Republicans like her too because she left the Democratic Party. So I guess that you're not like she'd be taking an equal number of votes, or at least a proportionately equal number of votes away from a prospective Republican candidate. Also, the Republican candidate that's probably going to be running for the seat is sure to be a nutbag of some kind, because it's probably either going to be Blake Masters again or Kari Lake.
It's going to be Kari.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Look,
apparently she got mad at Blake Masters because she thought that Blake Masters was going to gracefully step out of the way to let the Lake train come through, and he was like talking about like he's going to be running and shit like that, and she like blew up on him a little bit. Reportedly, this happened a couple weeks ago.
So. But you lost though. Like, I think her career is dead. Like, it's dead, right? Like, there's I don't think there's much left for her to do. I really don't. Like, not at this level. Like, I mean, I don't know, girl. Run for president. Like, I don't know. Like, shit is a wrap for you. Like, you tried to do the Trump shit. It didn't work. Nobody was buying it. And now you look silly. Trump is not going to pick you as the VP, even though you're, like, hanging out at Mar-a-Lago all the time. Like, some sort of weird sycophant. Yeah, I think your career is done. Won't be the last time I say that about somebody politically this evening. And it's a doozy too. I'm actually really looking forward to that story. But yeah, I think this is ridiculous. I don't think she's going to win re-election whether she runs in a Democratic primary or not. I think her career is done. I think it's toast. Unless you do a full heel turn and become a Republican. And then maybe you have a chance of having some like state level power, right? Like, you just run for like state senate or some shit like that. I don't see Sinema doing anything else after this. I think Gallego takes it, walks away with it, and then we're done ever listening to that buffoon talk again. Thankfully.
and what's funny is all she had to do was just be a fucking normal ass person. Like, and instead she wanted to be like Jane Mansion. And she's like, this is the way to win.
Yeah. Well, now your ass is gonna get like, you're not in West Virginia. Like, we can't get rid of that guy because there ain't shit else. that is not the case for you. Like, we can get rid of you. Like,
yeah, you live in a state that's trending more liberal all the time, it seems. Yeah. Which is hilarious because Arizona used to be like the Republican fucking, you know, breeding ground. Like some incredibly famous Republicans came out of Arizona.
Not anymore.
Nope.
Like, no, that shit is a wrap. That idea died with John McCain, if I'm being honest. Like, it quite literally did. When he gave that thumbs down to Republicans for healthcare, like he ended the Republican Party in Arizona. It was like, oh, like the stake through the heart. And he was like, John, no. And he was like, fuck you guys, I'm out. And you know what? Thanks, John. It was one of the few things you did right. That guy was not as much of a maverick as people said he was at all.
And the things he was a maverick about were not always the best things. Go read about Bear Stearns and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, he was a maverick. Like when people used to not crash planes, and he was a maverick, so he crashed them. And I'm not talking about when he was a POW. I'm talking about before that.
Yeah,
and he was like a maverick when his wife stood by him while he was a POW, and then when he got back home, he mavericked his way into marrying that other woman. Was like, I'm fucking out. I'm going to maverick my way out of this fucking marriage. Because he was kind of an asshole. He was. So, you know, safe home there, John. Anyway, next up, Supreme Court rejects Alabama's bid to use congressional maps with just one majority black district. Again, the Supreme Court looks down at Alabama and says, get the fuck out of here. Please stop sending us your dumb reports.
What the fuck did Alabama think was going to happen here? Because basically what Alabama did is the Supreme Court said, hey, this map is we are saying the worst Supreme Court ever is saying this map is hella racist. You need to make it less racist. And Alabama pretty much pulled the I'm going to let you finish, but I'm going to change it a little bit, but not do what you told me to do. And it's going to be cool, right? And the Supreme Court was like, no. What the fuck are you? Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Like, come on, bro!
Get the fuck
like,
out of here.
This is nonsense. Look, I gotta tell you, I love it. I'm a huge fan of when we just decide that the Supreme Court doesn't matter. We're just gonna try to slam shit through and see what happens. And look, thankfully, the Supreme Court, without any dissenting voices, was like, no, please stop doing this. We told you once. Actually, we told you twice. Please stop it. Change the goddamn map. So what's up for Alabama? I honestly don't know. I think there's a decent chance they just go, no, we're not going to change it. It just runs through the election.
They fucking soldier ahead anyway and being like, yeah, what are you going to do? Like, we got an election next year.
And that will prove, because I truly believe they're just not going to fix this. I honestly I think they're just going to be like, it was too late for us to change it. And the question is going to become, what happens when you openly defy the court? Openly defy the court on something that they have ruled on multiple times, and you literally – there is no gray area, and it also has to do with elections. What do you do then?
Yeah.
Do you this election? Like, when they fuck over black people and pick a Republican for those districts, what happens? Like, do those elections not count? Or do they just go, well, I guess it counts and there's nothing we can do about it? Like, come on, man.
I mean, we went on a pretty epic diatribe about this a couple weeks ago when the map was first kind of like – when Alabama first brought up the take two and we're like, it's still the same. So I would go back and encourage listening to that because, like, really, like, just kind of outright rejecting a Supreme Court ruling is like opening the stupidest Pandora's box for Republicans that I could possibly think. So I encourage you to go back and listen to that. But yeah, I too am curious to see if they're finally chastened and they finally draw the map that the Supreme Court is like, do this.
Yeah.
Or if they're going to be stubborn and be like, you know, we didn't hear you say that, that we couldn't do it.
Sorry, bro. Well, guess we got to just move forward. Like,
yep.
Like there's gotta be some teeth behind this. And right now I'm not seeing that. I'm not seeing any of that. Like, so us going, don't you do it, Nico. I'm gonna do it. Like that, we've hit a situation that's kind of a big deal. And again, this deals with elections. So if they don't fix this, and the election mm-hmm. happens, and people get chosen based on this corrupt map, what happens? And someone mm-hmm. needs to tell, like, someone needs to ask the court, what happens if they don't listen?
If they don't do it, right?
And that should be, like, there should be a legitimate conversation. There also should be a legitimate ask of the governor of Alabama. What happens when this goes down? Well, we'll see. No. Not we will see. What happens if you do this? You need to be on
video. Here's the problem, though. The governor has already kind of come out and been like, I like the racist map. I think we should be able to do what we want. So
I know. So, like, does the FEC get involved?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what happens? Right? Like, does the DOJ get involved? Who gets involved to be the teeth of this? Who is the DOJ going to be the teeth for the Supreme Court?
What if be interesting if the House and again, I don't know who would have sway.
Does the House not seat them? Does the House not see?
That's what I'm saying. Like, and I don't think Kevin McCarthy would do it, but like, I'm pretty sure Hakeem Jeffries would be like,
absolutely.
This is fucked up. Like, we're not seating any of you guys. Sorry. Till you guys can figure this shit out. So Alabama just won't have, you know, a House representative until you guys can get your house in order. So
by the way, Hakeem Jeffries, we know you're listening. I know you're a big fan. You should come out and say that right now. You should come out and say it right now and say, if this happens and you do not change the map, we will not seat them. Say it definitively. There is no surprise here. So that when it happens, and by the way, I'm going to go on record and tell you that's what's going to happen. Alabama is going to drag their feet and then they're going to go, what could we do? And we're going to just run the race. Right? When that happens, or likely when it happens, one, you'll get a dude I told you, of course. But standard operating procedure. But when that happens, they're going to be like, oh, you're not going to seat our corrupt House members that are built off this map that the Supreme Court justice told us twice is racist and bullshit? I can't believe it. That's why you say it now. And go, if you do this, we will not seat them. By the way, if you do that and say we will not seat them, that might actually spur them to go, all right, we might not need to get this into a political fight. Let's just do the fucking map. But if I was Hakeem Jeffries, I would come out and be like, we will fight this tooth and nail. You just will not have any seats. Tough shit. From those three districts, we will not seat them. You figure it out, motherfucker.
Or the whole state. How about the whole state?
That's fine. Sorry.
We can't be sure any of these are legitimate because the map is illegitimate. So we're just not going to seat any Alabama House representatives. And once you get it fixed and have a new election and can actually draw a map that's fair, then we'll consider it. So
right. And the best part about this is you have a hyper conservative Supreme Court that's saying this. There is no one to run to. But we're going to take it to Supreme Court. You already did twice. Twice they told you to get the fuck out of here. Make the goddamn map correctly. So I think that's the move. I think Hakeem Jeffries and the other Democrats in leadership should come out and be like, this is unacceptable. The Supreme Court told you twice. If you do not do it, they don't get seated. Don't try to drag your feet on this shit. Drag your feet in it. You just don't have any. And look, I'd point to the House members who are there right now, who will be there, you know, who are the ones likely to be incumbents. I'd be like, John and Steve, their ass ain't coming either. Knock it the fuck off. Like, sorry. That's how you get ahead of these stories. Because if you don't get ahead of this story, they're going to be like, well, the Democrat, they're immediately go, the Democrats are corrupt. No, call out their corruption, their potential corruption right now, today. Don't wait, right now. So yeah, it's a nonsense case. They already know what they need to do, but they don't have the power or they don't have the willingness to do it. They know what mm-hmm. they need to do. Shit is not difficult to understand. On that note, we're going to take another quick break and we'll be right back. Okay. This is fun. Ron DeSantis and Gavin Newsom are going to debate on Fox News with Sean Hannity moderating. This is a 90-minute debate on November 30th in Georgia. Here's the thing. Before I get into who's going to win this debate, Gavin Newsom, this proves one thing beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Ron DeSantis is done. It's over.
Yeah, he's not even debating people
running for president right now.
This is the political equivalent of a Hail Mary, especially when you look at the timing of the debate. It's November 30th of this year, so just a couple months before the first primary in Iowa. I know what DeSantis is thinking here, right? Like DeSantis is like, it's a home game. Sean Hannity's going to be the moderator. I guess he didn't watch the interview with Gavin Newsom and Sean Hannity where Gavin Newsom handed Sean Hannity his fucking lunch and fucking emptied his pockets too at the same time. And I'm assuming what he's going to attempt to do is use Gavin Newsom as a stand-in for Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to try to frame the questions that Sean Hannity asks at a national level so that he can basically say, like, oh, like, well, Biden and Newsom are the same person, so I'm going to hammer, you know, I'm actually going to be yelling at Joe Biden, but it's going to be, you know, me yelling at Gavin Newsom, who I'm just treating as Joe Biden. Here's the difference, is that Gavin Newsom, because he's the governor of California right now, and he won't be running for president for 4 years yet, still, right. Is going to make it all about how the fucking state's running.
Yeah.
And why California is fucking awesome, and why Florida fucking sucks.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Gavin Newsom is real good at that. Like, he's really good at it. And not only is he good at it, he has the perfect level of dickishness, intellect, and viciousness mm-hmm. that you want in a politician you agree with. Like, he's fucking got it, man. He can come off as like, yeah, you know, I think the country's doing really well. And then he's like, fucking Florida sucks, and here are the fucking reasons. Like, and he's super and here's, right, man. He's a dangerous and here's what's interesting to go up against in a debate.
That's the thing. So this debate could potentially have two impacts. Number one, it could tank DeSantis' 2024 campaign. It could just be dead in the water.
It will.
It could also effectively remove Ron DeSantis as a serious contender for the 2028 Republican nomination as well, especially if Gavin Newsom is running on the Democratic side.
Like, remember that time I destroyed your ass 4 years ago? Bitch, I'm back. Like, oh no. And then he's just going to run clips again. Like, oh shit. Oh shit. He dunked on him again. Like, this, the fact that you're trying to do this Hail Mary with Gavin Newsom screams of desperation to me.
Yeah.
I saw somebody, I forget who it was, made the point that we have made many a time, which is the only way to win over Trump in this Republican primary is to go through Donald Trump. Just smash into him and knock him over. And there's only one person who is truly trying to do that, and that's Chris Christie. That's it. Nikki Haley is like, She's like behind Chris Christie, using him as a battering ram a little bit. Right?
Chris Christie even pulled his Trump punches in the first debate. He spent more time attacking Vivek Ramaswamy than he did.
Yeah, Donald Trump. That's absolutely true. By the way, Vivek, it's over. It's over. Like, it's done. Like, he had his run. Woo! I did the Eminem song, is over. It's you can literally watch the bell curve of his political aspirations.
It's funny because he started trotting his wife out to run damage control because he was fucking himself up so badly, and she did not help his cause. She did not hold the line very strongly. To help back up her man. Again, I like the Vivek thing, like we're not talking about it this week, but just like when he just like, yeah, my dad never filed for citizenship. And that's not a problem. I'm like, really?
You sure about
really
that?
Vivek? Yeah, you sure about that?
I don't even have it on the docket, but it was like, we need to get one of H-1B visas. Or, you know, H-1B visas. And they're like, okay, he's like, yeah, I'm gonna get rid of all of them. Yeah, he used them like 29 times when he was running his.
Yeah,
His
company. We should rescind birthright citizenship. Hey, aren't you a birthright citizen? Wow, we're not talking about me.
I'm different. I'm deep, baby. Come on now. You said that you think that the DeSantis Newsom debate has a potential for two major changes, right? Which is killing DeSantis in 2024 and 2028. Look, I also think it has a third option, which is both killing DeSantis' chance now and in the future, but also skyrocketing Gavin Newsom.
Oh, I think we could have it all. I think we could have it all, baby. I think the world is our oyster.
Right. The one person that it could actually hurt. Look, I think this could actually hurt Joe Biden. And I could see people being like, oh, we should have Gavin Newsom in 2024. Oh,
we want cool Uncle Gavin instead of Grandpa Joe.
Yeah, get out of here, Grandpa Joe. But look, Joe Biden is not a panacea, right? Joe Biden plays as the number one reason Biden got elected, besides being absolutely more qualified than Donald Trump to be president ever, is that he has a cooling effect on politics. He cooled the temperature down. For 4 years, Donald Trump ran everything red fucking hot. It was miserable. Everyone hated it. Everyone was politically exhausted, and they just wanted him to shut the fuck up. Grandpa Joe came in, quite literally told Donald Trump to shut up, and he cooled the political fucking like insanity down a bit. And everybody didn't have to be like, you didn't have to be grilled in, like, you know, just glued into politics all the time, unless that was like an interest of yours, like weirdos like us. Another 4 years of that, of getting things done, you know, just sort of methodically working through problems and getting them done, not necessarily nailing it 100%, but hitting pretty big projects and things like that and getting big legislation passed and really putting his mark on it, but keeping the temperature low is a good thing. You got the auto worker strike, and it doesn't feel like a fucking catastrophe is happening right now, right? Like, that is the cooling effect that Joe Biden has on politics, right? It just brings shit down. That being said, after 8 years of the nice, cool, you know, the nice cool down, you're all rested and you're like, you're tan, ready and rested, right? Just like Bobby Jindal. Like, after all that, that's when you bring in a liberal firebrand to go, you guys cool? You're rested? Now let's go kick their fucking teeth in. And that's who you want. You don't want 4 years of fucking like, and then 4 years of cooling and then back to the crate. You don't want that. Like, you don't want – you can tell people don't want it because people don't want Trump again, right?
Yeah. He's not and Newsom – like, Newsom could easily – Newsom could easily also pour cold water on that because, like, if he gets at – because, like, there'll be, you know – if he does really well in the debate, like, there will be some people that ask him, like, hey, like, you know, why don't you consider running in 2024 or are you running in 2028? He'd be like, look, I'm governor of California for 2 more years. After that, who knows what the future holds, right? But I'm supporting Joe Biden all the way in 2024. Right.
But I'm telling you, man. Oh, Gavin's coming in 2028.
I've never been more sure of anything in my entire life.
Right. Get the fuck out of the way. Look, Kamala Harris, I love you. You don't stand a fucking chance against Gavin. Just don't, dude. And look, there have been, quote unquote, inevitable, you know, trains a-coming that have gotten knocked off the rails. I don't think you're knocking Gavin Newsom on the road. He's literally doing. Oh, I'm not saying.
I'm not even guaranteeing.
He's ready, dude. He is preparing. Yeah, I'm not for the bullshit.
I'm not guaranteeing that he would win the Democratic nomination. I'm just saying he is 1,000% at least running for president in 2028.
Yeah. No, the only thing that is unfortunate is that we never had a chance to have Gavin Newsom run for president against Mitt Romney, because then it's just two. It's like The Simpsons. It's just two identical white men running against each other.
What it really is, it's more like it's more like the villain from Time Cop. Like, it's just like the old version, the old conservative version of Gavin Newsom running against him, and Mitt Romney's running against the young liberal version of himself.
Yeah.
they can't shake hands because the same matter can't occupy the same space according to the rules of Time Cop.
Of course. They're the same guy, dude. They're the same guy. They're literally just two sides of the same fucking coin. It's wild. But no, I think there is a very significant chance that when Gavin Newsom embarrasses Ron DeSantis, because what Ron DeSantis is not a good debater. Like, he's not.
No.
Like, he's just fundamentally isn't. Whether you agree with his policies or not, he's fundamentally not a very good debater. But when you put this guy up against a guy who is good at debate, who can come off as brutal, I mean, just fucking brutal, but he can do that, like, stab you in the chest, but then laugh it off, like, yeah, I mean, I'm just giving you facts, baby. No big deal. Are you bleeding? Are you bleeding? I'm sorry to hear that. Here, I also believe in universal health care. Help this man, right? Like, his ability to wreck Sean Hannity, who is one of the most annoying fucking people to have a debate with because he doesn't let you finish. Like, Gavin Newsom was able to hang with him, and not only hang with Sean Hannity, put Hannity on his heels. Right. Like, and that ability to do that, Ron DeSantis ain't ready for that. He's never debated anyone like that, dude. He's never debated anyone like that. Andrew Gillum was the closest he's gotten to debating someone like that. And Gillum destroyed him in those debates. Whether he won or not, in those debates, it wasn't even fucking close. All things equal, Gillum would have won that. But I mean, Florida is just an incredibly red state at this point.
Yes.
So, yeah, this to me proves that Ron DeSantis' career is over. It's done. Once he
and I'll tell you what, I've not been making time for these Republican primary debates. I will make time for Gavin Newsom versus Ron DeSantis.
Oh, yes. 1,000%. We will, if at all possible, we're doing this one on the show. Come on, man. We don't want to see this. Like, one of the best liberal states versus one of the worst conservative states. Like, yeah, like, in Florida and California couldn't be any polar opposite, like, as far as policies and things like that. They really can't.
But still similar in many ways, because they are also the two states arguably in the union right now that climate change is most heavily affecting at the moment.
And one state taking it very seriously. The other state, what could happen?
Yeah.
we'll see. Like, all right. Yeah, we'll see. So yeah, I think Ron DeSantis, I think this is basically him saying, hey man, I don't have any more options. If you guys could just tune in to watch this, that'd be great. Please help me.
He's just got to finish second in Iowa, Jay. That's his grand strategy.
Congratulations. What a low fucking bar. I hate that this is the last serious story, because it shouldn't be, but there's so many things happening. A group of Senate Democrats have introduced a bill that would wipe out student meal debt for kids across the United States. Senators John Fetterman, Sheldon Whitehouse, and Peter Welch, they're the only three. Only three that sponsored this bill or introduced this bill. We'll see who co-sponsors it. I can't wait to find out who that is. Introduced a... something called the School Lunch Debt Cancellation Act last week. Fetterman said that there are more than 30 million kids in the U.S. who can't afford school lunch, and that national public school meal debt is $262 million a year. By the way, that's not a lot of money. We can pay for that. The federal government can absolutely pay for that. That's nonsense. It's not $262 billion. It's, and by the way, nationwide. Not in one state, nationwide. This is the most slam dunk of slam dunk bills, right? Like,
well, that's true if you care about kids being able to afford lunch at school, Jay. Like that's that's kind of the key component that you're forgetting about.
Yeah, but I was told one party is pro-life. Like I was told this, Brad.
They're actually Jay, we're using new nomenclature to talk about this. It's now pro-baby. They're the pro-baby.
Oh, right.
So
you're right. Now, I did get the memo. I forgot. That's on me. That's really on me.
That's on you. That's on you. We don't care about life, clearly, because you look at our other policies, but we do love babies.
Yeah. And by the way, some conservative doctors say that you not having a baby makes them sad because they don't get to look at the babies.
That's right.
It's like a real fucking court case. Like, those guys should lose their licenses to practice medicine for saying something so fucking absurd. Look, shout out to John Fetterman. He makes a very good point here. Quote, school lunch debt is a term so absurd that it shouldn't even exist. That's why I'm proud to introduce the bill to cancel the nation's school meal debt and stop humiliating kids and penalizing hunger, because that is what it's doing. You are humiliating kids and penalizing people who are hungry. Who the fuck is against this idea? It's so weird. I don't care what Republicans say. If every Republican in the fucking Senate isn't on board for this, and this is one of the rare things. Every Republican in the House, every Democrat in the House, every Republican in the Senate, and every Democrat in the Senate should be on board for this. 100%. 100%.
But
and anyone who isn't
but to do
be
so,
voted out immediately.
But Jay, to also, you know, put her another point. This is kind of like a pro Obama policy. Like if you recall, Michelle Obama was a big advocate for getting healthier food in schools and stuff like that. And so like, we don't want to be accused of being like fucking libs, like trying to push the Obama agenda. Do we? No, I don't think so. Sorry.
Feeding kids. Yeah. Feeding kids.
Sorry, kids. Go be in debt because you can't afford to buy lunch. But we don't want to embarrass ourselves. So we can't
afford $262 million a year to make sure that all American kids have food, but we can afford. Then we just lose a $13 billion jet. Like we just lost it. Like we just lost it. Like, look, that shit happens. I'm not making fun of the jet being lost. I'm just saying, like, we just ate $13 billion. Like we can afford $260 million a year.
By the way, if I'm reading this correctly, you know, regardless of what would have to happen in the House for this to pass, because we need some Republican support. I'm pretty sure you could pass this in the Senate with just Democratic support, because it's a budgetary concern, right? So, like, you could pass it with 50.
Yeah. I can't imagine what kind of a person would be against. Like legitimately be against it. I cannot imagine the type of person who would advocate for not feeding children when you clearly could do it.
Why do you have a Chuck Grassley pop figure? I thought you got a Skeletor pop figure.
It's a Chuck Grassley pop vinyl. Like,
that's right.
What kind of person would go, hey, man, it's $260 million. Fuck those kids. I'm not paying it. Like, but there's going to be a person who gets up there and it's going to be on C-SPAN of them making an argument that the Democratic Party is somehow wrong for making sure that kids eat food during the day.
That's Jay, we have to have these kids and their parents lift themselves up by their own bootstraps. We can't just give them handouts for free lunch. Then next thing you know, Jay, everyone's going to want free lunch everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think everyone should have free lunch. Like I'm a filthy lib in thinking that kids should get free lunch. Yeah. Like, yeah, no, I'm fine with it. Like, the funny thing is, I don't even think it should be like subsidized or anything like that. I think lunch should just be available for kids across the board. And if you bring your lunch, then great. If you don't bring your lunch, you forgot your lunch in your locker, somebody beat you up and took it before you got to school, whatever. There's lunch available. Like, but this is a new phenomenon, right? When we were in school, you had like a lunch ticket, right? Like kids who couldn't, you know, and they were, you know, they just had like less money or whatever. They had a lunch ticket and they just like that shit was subsidized by the state government. And then all of a sudden, like state governments were like, nah, fuck that. We're not going to pay for that anymore. And like,
yeah,
why? They're kids.
Some states still do. Some states still do.
But it's become this very real thing in red states to do this. And I don't understand how parents of these kids or parents, excuse me, like red staters can advocate for this. Like, it's a bizarre fucking thing. And I know this seems like a small issue, but it's so emblematic of the difference between the parties. When people say the parties are both the same, they fucking aren't. They fucking aren't. Who is making the argument that kids should, well, if they don't have fucking money, like who, well, sorry, liberal, you know,
you I'm said, not, you I'm said who would, that. You said, you asked who would possibly do this. The same people that I saw reported today, who are proposing that we cut federal education spending by 80% over what it currently is sitting at. That's one of their new proposals for the new budget that they already agreed to, but they're now reneging on, is like, hey, we should cut education by 80% because fuck that.
And what do you think is going to happen to education in the U.S.? Like, what do you think?
Well, that, isn't that more of a feature, not a bug at the end of the day for them?
Sad, but true. Sad, but true.
Yeah. So,
wow. All right. This week in stupid.
You know what? Good segue. This is what will happen to education if we don't fund things in this country.
You're 100% correct. Look, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? They were correct. Many people have been saying that there is a level of
one of the presidential candidates is completely brain dead and completely not in control of their faculties. And you know what? I can't argue with them. They're right.
No, they're 100%.
We have tape. Look, we have tape to prove it.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Like, when they say this stuff about him, like, they're right. He's an idiot and he should not be running for reelection.
Not fit to serve.
No. Well, he should not run for reelection. So here you go.
Anyways, when I came here, everyone thought Bush was going to win. And then they took a poll and they found out Trump was up by about 50 points. Everyone said, what's going on right here? They thought Bush, because Bush supposedly was a military person. Great. You know what? He got us into the Middle East. How did that work out? Right. But they all thought that Bush might win. Jeb. Remember Jeb? But you have a better chance of being struck by lightning than hitting a whale with your boat. But on the other hand, their windmills are causing whales to die in numbers never seen before. The windmills are driving them crazy. They're driving the whales, I think, a little batty.
Like, there's always something magical about playing Trump's clips out of context. Like,
yeah,
I mean, in context, it's equally stupid, right? What he's saying, but like, there's almost no chance of you ever hitting a whale with your boat. And you're like, I'm sorry, what? Like, it's just so.
He's like a record needle that gets stuck on the vinyl, right? Like when a thought gets into his head, it just keeps repeating over and over again. Like, he can't help it, because he got stuck on the whales when he saw that, like, oh, like, you're gonna, you know, you're not gonna hit a whale on a boat or whatever. But then, like, I guess he pivoted into windmills, but because whale was just in there, he was just the whales hate the windmills. They hate them.
A lot of people don't know that. They're like, whales are beaching themselves because of, I'm sorry, checks notes, windmills. Not a thing. I think he means birds, but
the whales of the sky, Jay. I can understand where he made that mistake.
Often, a lot of times, a lot of people don't know this. A lot of people don't know that birds are often referred to as the whales of the sky.
I think, you know what? I think we found a show title for this week. I'm pretty sure we're
there. The whales of the sky. What a fucking idiot. Yeah. But by Republican standards, they say, hey, this Joe Biden is his brain is mush because he'll like stumble on a word, or he'll use the wrong turn of phrase or something like that, right? It happens to me, happens to you, happens to everybody. But like, he's older, so it's easier to like fucking needle him on it, right? And Joe is fucking old. Like, he is not old enough not to be at the fucking UAW strike, but whatever. But still old. But when Trump says crazy things, it was just a mistake. It's not a cognitive issue, right? Like for him. And by the way, Biden will like forget, like he'll be in the middle of a sentence and stammer and like kind of like has to recover or something like that. And again, that happens. He also has a lifelong stutter. So that's a part of it. I love how Republicans try to pretend like that's not true. But Trump gets on an idea. He doesn't get it out of his head because there's mm-hmm. nothing else going on up there. Like Trump has been a dumb person. Like a long
not that both those things were not slips of the tongue. Like he kept reiterating these points over and over again, where whales are getting killed by windmills, and Jeb Bush got us into the Middle East.
Yeah,
from his seat in the governor's mansion in Florida.
Jeb had a lot more power than we realized. I mean,
you know, maybe he was the shadow president during the second Bush administration. He's like, my brother's a dullard. He can't possibly do this. So I'm going to run it from Florida. It's going to be great.
Please clap. Please clap. Please. I just find that clip hilarious. It's funny as hell to me. But if you hold Republicans by the standards they hold Democrats in, Donald Trump is 100% not fit to be president because he is clearly brain dead from the things that he says. The whales of the sky, Brad, the whales of the sky. all right. That is it for us. By the way, I was reminded, I sent it to you and Andy. I was reminded of one of my favorite Trump, like weird quotes back when he was president, was the soup for my family. that video came out. That's one of the best. They pick up the soup.
They're walking around with cans of soup and because it's easier to throw because a brick is too heavy.
They
walk around with cans of soup, and then people stop them and they say, no, it's soup for my family. And
this is one of the fucking greatest like idiot diatribes he ever had. And those two young girls who did the video for that, where they're like playing out all the things he's saying, that's got to be one of the best fucking videos of all time. Holy shit. What is it? It's just soup for my family. That's all it is. That's all it is. You can't throw a brick. It's too heavy. Like, oh, okay. If you've seen videos from the Middle East since forever, you can throw a brick. The guy's an idiot, and he's long been an idiot. He certainly has been a gigantic idiot since running for president. Like, without a doubt.
Yes.
That's why he has said the most insane things that don't make sense. He's deeply uneducated about politics. He's deeply uneducated about policy. He's deeply uneducated about most things. Like, he mm-hmm. pretends he created things like Prime the Pump. Remember, he invented that at one point. it's not a surprise that he doesn't understand these things, and it's not surprising he says crazy things. But I do mm-hmm. honestly think he is in cognitive decline. I think he is. I think he very much is.
I don't think that you're going on a limb by proclaiming that. Like, it's clear to anyone fucking watching, for Christ's sake.
If you can be honest, actor, any honest actor. So there you go. This Week in Stupid, brought to you by That Moron. All right. We will see you guys next week for another episode.
See ya.